The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Welcome to the final hooter. Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson talking rugby league. There is the podcast for our loverugbyleague.com. Thanks very much to our friends at Warrington Hospital, our Radio General at Warrington Hospital, for letting us use the studio to make me and you sound like we know what we're on about.
We do, yeah. Usually it's all the gear and no idea from us,
exactly.
Too, isn't it?
Before we start, I just want to say everything looking rosy in the world at Lee at the minute.
Yeah, 6 straight wins now.
Yeah.
Starting to look up the table rather than down and see who's finishing below us.
No one's in for the coach though yet, nothing mentioned. What's going on?
Well, to be fair, I'll do a big statement here now. I don't think they should bring a new coach in.
Right, okay.
I think that
Kieran Pirtle
is
the man.
I do. Okay. He's getting a reaction. He's getting everybody buying into what he's doing. They're attacking with great relish at the moment. The last 2 games, they scored 150 points or thereabouts. So, you know, you can't complain about what you're getting.
The Lee are on fire.
Man, you having said that, there's a couple of other sides that are also
The Wolves are on fire.
Yeah, they're on a similar winning run. And then you can't discount Toronto as well. Toronto have been on a brilliant run ever since they got beat by, was it London Broncos?
The Wolfpack are on fire.
Hang on, that doesn't...
Don't go.
You're trying to create a rugby league chant again, aren't you? That's what
no one chants. That's what I'm about. Where's the chants at the ground?
Well,
anymore?
Maybe there's a player that's just been signed by Toronto which will strike up a chant.
Go on then, what's his name?
Darcy Lussick.
I'll have to work on some lyrics for that one. Yeah, go on, tell us all about him then.
Well, he's a prop forward, yeah. Played over 100 NRL games, used to play for Manly Seagulls, managed to get a release from his contract, and he's signed for the Toronto Wolfpack. Decent player, actually.
He's on the Wolfpack merry train towards Super League.
Yeah, yeah. Although I was talking to a Toronto player at the weekend, and he was telling me...
Mention no names.
They've not been out to Toronto yet.
They are going shortly.
So he's looking...
Tickets are booked.
Well, he's looking forward. He's looking forward to apparently they're being put up in, like, student-type accommodation.
So where's this? In Toronto?
In Toronto.
Getting down with the kids.
So they're looking... He's particularly looking forward to getting out there and seeing what life is like in Canada.
Yeah, mention teams that are on fire. Castle and Dragons are not on fire.
No, it's a bit of a damp squib their season, isn't it? In fact...
Witness are not on fire.
I'm really surprised that Steve McNamara hasn't had his marching orders yet.
Well, he got the dreaded vote of confidence.
He did, but that was 3 games ago.
So how many games have we got left then? Let's work it out. I reckon about 5.
I don't know. I think he's on... He must be on the mark. He must be on the mark. Maybe
I thought you said
win.
He was on the march. To the exit door.
But yeah, I mean, Widnes not doing particularly well either.
No.
It just seems every time Widnes take the field, there's another 2 or 3 injuries to add to the list.
Oh, you can see the frustration in his face, couldn't you, on the game against Hull FC.
And again, I feel really sorry for Chris Dean, because he's had such a bad injury record over this last 2 or 3 years. You think finally he's getting to the right side of it, and he's only gone and picked up another injury, hasn't he? So yeah, tough going if you're a Widnes player and a fan at the moment.
Certainly is. But before we talk about Super League, let's keep our toes in the Championship, shall we? Before we mention round 11, let's mention round 10. Winners in round 10 for Toronto against Batley. Feversham Rovers seen off Dewsbury Rams. London Broncos lost out to Halifax. Lee came up with a big win against Rochdale. And Sheffield won the nail biter against Swinton Lions 19-18.
Yeah, really last minute drop goal there for Sheffield Eagles in that one, which put them into the winner's circle for the first time this season. Batley deserved a lot of credit for their performance. Batley in great form in the Championship at the moment. They accounted for a full time to lose 46 points to 22 at the weekend. Great result as well, to be honest, because Toulouse had first use of the slope. So you would have expected them to dash off into the distance in the lead. But a hat-trick there from former Widnes Bradford player Jason Crooks helped them to that 46-22 victory.
The night before, London Broncos got back to winning ways. A miserable week for Killer Kilshaw. He wouldn't have enjoyed rounds 10 and 11. And also there were wins for Featherstone against Barrow. Toronto against Dewsbury. They said Jerusalem. Why was I going to say Jerusalem?
I don't know. You made up that last year
as
well.
Is that a new team and trying to push into the franchise or the rugby league?
Maybe it is. I was coming up with one at the weekend as well. I kept saying London City rather than York City, and they were playing against London Scholars.
You mentioned Lee were on fire. They certainly were, a record, a history day in making for Leeds. 72-20 wins against Sheffield.
Yeah.
And did I read somewhere 50 points came up in the first half? First time they've ever done that?
They did, yeah. Well, no, it's the second time it was actually ever done, in fairness, but they didn't concede as many points, so it was 50 points to 4 at half time. They actually won a half against Dewsbury back in 2003, 50 points to 6.
Mm.
But that sort of superseded it, but played some great stuff. Craig Hall scored 4 tries in all in that game. To be fair to Sheffield, they fought back a little bit in the second half, got themselves a couple of tries themselves to get a bit of consolation. But yeah, a second big win in succession for Lee.
Swinton losing out to Halifax, who seems to be on a roll with Richard Marshall at the minute.
Yeah, I don't think that score tells all the tale though, in honesty, because for a long swathe of that game, Swinton were in front. They led 6 points to 4 at half time. They led 12-4 until about 20 minutes from the end, and then Halifax just overhauled them.
And just trying to work out what that meant.
It meant Halifax pipped them.
Oh, okay. We mentioned London Broncos got back to winning ways. Well, win against Rochdale. You were there, and you caught up with Danny Ward.
I'm joined by Danny Ward, London Broncos coach. Your thoughts on the evening's game tonight at Rochdale?
Happy with the second half, happy with the win. You know, the first half we had some areas to fix up, controlling the ball. It was rainy again and we didn't handle the conditions, I don't think, the first half. But the second half, you know, we kept hold of it. We played down the right end of the field, we kicked well. And it's a simple game of rugby when you play like that and the points come. And yeah, just pleased with the boys because it's been a tough week or two, losing a couple of games, and glad that they've bounced back and yeah, they're going to enjoy that tonight.
It was really attritional that at points, wasn't it? Especially when that end of that first half come 9-6 in favour of Rochdale. Do you feel that they had the balance in the first half?
Yeah, again, I think they played the conditions better. I think they completed well. They completed hard. They didn't make many errors. And like I said, we did, and just gifted them some field position, and they took it, and they were deserved of the lead at half time. Fully, that's credit to them. They've come out and had a real crack tonight, and they'll get some scalps. It's a tough place to come. We just, like I say, handled that second half better than them, I think, and the points come.
It was nice to see your left hand attack getting more of the ball in the second half, because in the first half, a lot of the play seemed to be down with like Lavelle in this right side.
Yeah, it was getting off the line pretty hard on our side at Appy and Lavelle, and I was coming up with a few headers and it was on a lot of the time left and was making the wrong decisions. So, you know, again, something we spoke about at half time, and the fix it up, went down the left a little bit more. I thought Kieran was pretty dangerous out the back of shapes as well. He adds that injection of pace and power as well, and he scored a couple as well. So yeah, we mixed it up with both sides and played some nice football at times.
It's nice to see a really confident Kieran Dixon back, because he is very much a confidence player, isn't he?
He is, yeah, he is indeed, and we all know how dangerous he can be on his day, and Kieran, and he's been pretty solid for us all year, to be fair. And you know, he's been nagging for a job at fullback since day one of pre-season, and we gifted him that tonight, and he's come up with a good performance. You know, he stopped a try in the first half with a good one-on-one as well. He defensively was pretty sound, so say on his day, you know, he's one of the best outside backs in the comp, I think.
I know a lot of people always talk about the development of London Broncos. You're always bringing a lot of younger players through. You've got the likes of James Meadows learning his craft really in the middle. You've got some really young forwards as well.
Yeah, we have. We got some young players, you know, but if you're good enough, you're old enough, isn't it? It's that old age saying. The boys have been playing well all year, you know, people like Lewis Beanick and Sam Davis and Dan Imarsh tonight, you know, is another. He's been playing well in the academy all year and deserved his chance, and he's got a lot of minutes out there and stood up. He's a physical bloke. He looks
a really useful guy.
Yeah, he is. He's good on it. He was going to play middle tonight, but when Will Lovell got injured, he had to come on an edge and play some edge. But he's a back rower, but he just keeps getting bigger each week. He's putting on kilo after kilo, and he's going to end up in that middle, I keep telling him. So, but he's so mobile. He's got a good engine on him, and he's just that lad. He's played well in the academy, deserved the chance, and took it tonight. So I'm really pleased for him.
Just a comment on how things are going with London, because like you say, you've had that blip over the last couple of weeks. You've now got over that. Sometimes it's just about getting the monkey off your back, isn't it?
It is a bit. I mean, we're just taking one game at a time, and I know we had them few losses, but we just said, right, we're next job, we'll carry on and try and fix them bits up for the next game, and it's been tough, and confidence is low. You try and build the lads up and keep them confident, but it does affect them. So it's important that they just got back to doing what they do best, and I think they did that for most parts tonight. So hopefully that'll give them confidence going forward.
Are you enjoying the role as head coach?
Yeah, loving it, loving every minute of it. And the boys make it easy at times. They make it hard at times, but you know they're a good bunch. They're a good bunch. We've got a good staff as well who work with, and you know, credit to them, credit to the medical team and all that. They're good people at the Broncos and good lads at the minute who are doing everything we're asking of them.
I mean, you've been involved down there for a long time now, haven't you, with your playing days with the Harlequins club and what have you, so you look well settled as well.
Yeah, I love it down there. Like I said, I've been down over 10 years. It's
is it that long now?
It is. I went down in end of 07, I think, down to play. So and then 4 years down there playing before joining up with the scholarship. And yeah, I love every minute of it. Not losing my accent a little bit, as you can tell. We've been down there so long, but it's a good club. And it's a big part of me and my life at the minute, and yeah, love every minute of it. And hopefully we can get London back to where they belong. Hopefully in Super League.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I've seen a funny quote in rugby league world this week.
Go on.
Regarding Benny Westwood.
Right.
About people have been questioning his future.
Okay.
And he said, I'm going to carry on doing it till my legs say so.
Could be next week then, couldn't it, that, to be honest. I mean, he has had a very long career. And I suppose injuries have kind of kept him a bit fresh, haven't they?
He's
had a couple of seasons where he's been a bit injury ravaged, but in a lot of ways, that's almost like it's extended his career. Plus, I think as well, the way that Warrington are using him more as a bench player and coming on and maybe doing, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then doing another 20, 25 minute stint in the second half, I think it suits Ben Westwood these days.
Thinking about Benny Westwood, now the Warrington fans have their chant of Super Benny Westwood.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to get the Super title when he packs him?
Probably a few.
Who's been singing that about? Super Chrissy Hill, maybe?
Super Daryl Clark?
Super Stephen Ratchford, that fits.
Okay. I'm struggling now. I didn't realise we were going to go through the Warrington squad.
Something for Warrington fans to start thinking about when Benny does decide enough is enough.
Although, to be fair, he keeps getting on, doesn't he? He keeps getting the appearances. They keep ratcheting up.
Still rattling heads. Like he does.
He's how old?
34, isn't he?
36.
36? Yeah. 34.
Is that what he's told you?
He obviously has, yeah.
Because you do know that all rugby league forwards don't age once they hit 34. Suddenly they retire and the real age comes to pass then.
I always thought he was 34. He keeps telling me that when he walks past me anyway. Don't forget I'm 34.
Exactly. You kind of lose years in the latter years of your rugby league career, don't you?
I think I am as well. Danny Ward spoke to him 10 years down at the Broncos. My word, that's gone quick. Last time I spoke to him, he was still playing at Leeds.
Unbelievable. He's doing a good job down there, to be honest.
He must have went down there when Brian McDermott went down there.
They're bringing through a lot of players now. And yeah, he has. He's been down there some time. And the good thing about that is because he's come through right from being a scholarship coach as well as a player, he's seen all of these young players right from the very start, so now he's starting to chuck them into the first team, and they're largely swimming.
Now, Danny Ward's been down there 10 years. Anthony Murray spent about 2 or 3 years at North Wales, went away, and now he's come back to save the day.
I'm really glad to see Anthony back in the professional game. He's a good coach.
He's
a Lather as well.
You like your Lathers?
Of course I do.
Well, there's an age old saying in sport, you never go back to where you've been to before. But Anthony Murray, you've done it. You're welcome back to North Wales.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be back at North Wales. It's an exciting time to come back to the club. We've got some decent players here, and we've got obviously the exciting partnership with Widnes, which is always good to have. So yeah, and there's off the field sort of troubles what they've had in the past isn't here anymore, and it's a real positive place to be at the moment.
How did the move come about?
I just got a phone call off the chief exec, Andy Musdale. He just sort of got in touch with me. I was on my way over to Siddle, to be honest. I was coaching over there, and I got a phone call. Would I sort of be interested in a bit of a chat? So I had a bit of a chat, and then obviously they offered me the post. Said they wanted somebody who knew the club inside out, which I certainly do. I did 3 years here, and knew all the players as well. And so I said, snapped my hand off, get back into the pro game.
Been in a couple of weeks now, have you found it?
Yeah, I found it good. I've had a good response from the players. They're training hard and that, like, you know, just today was a bad day at the office. So, but yeah, I can't fault the attitude of the players, really trying to buy into what we want to do. But a bit of support from Widnes as well. We've had no training facilities with the weather and that. So Widnes have allowed us to train at their facility, which is always good for your players to be in that environment. So when you've got that at your disposal as well, that's a good thing to have.
When you left the club a few years ago, did you ever think you'd come back?
Yeah, definitely. North Wales Crusaders is massively at my heart. Like, you know, and Alan as well, who I coach with, and Steve Wild, who was my club captain. And getting those people back to the club was my main aim. And, you know, I did that, so that's what also made me come back as well. And, yeah, it's a fantastic club, North Wales, and the Speckies are really good as well. You know, they're probably the best in the rugby league. There's, you know, a small bunch of them, but they're really loud and they really enjoy the rugby. And, you know, they get behind the team, which is good.
You mentioned Rep Siddle. How did you find that challenge?
Yeah, it was good. I love the community game. I came through the community game. You know, my background is coaching the community game, so I absolutely think it's a fantastic place to play rugby. I had a good response off the Siddle lads, like, you know, really bought into what you want to do over there. But, you know, I left on good terms. Like, I made it clear that when I went back to Siddle, they've had an opportunity to coach at pro level again, that I'd take that opportunity. And they knew that, and they had a blessing, and they wished me all the best and thanked me for what I did in the short term that I was there.
One question: is there anyone within that club that may be good enough to come and play for the Crusaders?
Oh, there's just lots of players good enough to the community game to play for the Crusaders. I think if you look at our team, Kenny Baker, Ryan Smith, Simon Allerton, they were all playing the community game. Earl Hurst, who's gone over to Rochdale and playing high level, I brought them all to the community game, so there's certainly players there. But whether I'll take players from Siddle, I think I'd get shot.
Obviously you know about all the club. How do you feel the challenge is going to be second time round?
It's going to be a tough challenge. Yeah, it's going to be massively tough. Like, you know, we've not got the money to spend like some clubs have, but I'll never make that as an excuse. There's some good players here, and there's some good players to work with, and we've got the partnership with Widnes, so, you know, we can be in a positive place ourselves, really. It's just cool. We just need to improve.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Welcome back to the World of Rugby League. Anthony Murray, unfortunately, that interview took place after they lost out to Newcastle. Thunder.
To be fair, he's never been away, though, has he? Because he's been coaching...
Siddle.
Great little bit of coaching stint there, to be honest. I think it was... but it is great to see Anthony back in the pro ranks, because I do think that he's a very shrewd coach. He's a nice guy as well. And I wish him all the best.
The Thunder on the roll, aren't they?
They are, yeah. They're
going about the business quietly.
They were one of those teams that last year did particularly well and then kind of like tripped up a little bit about midway through the season. But there is some exciting players there, and Jason Payne's doing a great job.
They won that game against North Wales before that. They lost that to York 26-16 in round 6.
Yeah, and to be honest, with York and the way that they've set off this season, then they're a really good team, so well drilled. And they have a chance of causing a cup upset this weekend when they take on Catalan's Dragons.
Again, that's on TV, isn't it?
It's a game that's going to be streamed live via the BBC website. So, yeah, and I was chatting to Dave Woods on Sunday, and he was telling me they've got 3 cameras on it.
Wow, BBC pushing out the budget for this one.
And he's actually going to be there. So rather than in the previous rounds where they've been doing the amateur game and he's been sat in a studio in Manchester or whoever's been commentating, he's actually going to be at the ground. So that's even more of a reason to get down there, isn't it?
Other winners in round 6, a big win for Huntsford against Oldham, 24-16. Whitehaven were too good for Coventry, losing 44-12 to Whitehaven with the Bears. The week before, North Wales had a close run game against Doncaster, losing that one 28-20. Harrow Stags had a tough day at the office against Keighley, conceding 80 and scoring 10. We mentioned York City Knights beating Newcastle Thunder. And a big game at Workington. Leon was happy because he beat Bradford Bull 17-16.
I think a lot of people were a bit happy with Workington's result, actually, because Bradford were chucking the weight around, weren't they? They had a real social media war.
They wanted it on the telly, didn't they?
They wanted to stream it live, yeah, at the ground there on Facebook, and they were told in no uncertain terms that they couldn't do that. I think Bradford asked could they do a delayed coverage of about half an hour. They were told that they couldn't do that. Ultimately, it is the home side that makes the decision. And it didn't get filmed. It got put out later on, I hasten to add, but I wonder how many Bradford fans actually watched it second time round in the knowledge that Workington had come and pipped it and won.
Well, they got back to winning ways at home in round 7, defeating Coventry 52-6. It was 30 points to 10 for Newcastle against North Wales. We'll hear from Jason Payne very shortly. Oldham got back to winning ways, defeating Keighley 32-18. A big win for Doncaster against Hemel Stags, 60-0 for the Stags. Going awful for them at the minute, isn't it? Hunts at 27, Workington 20, Whitehaven 84, West Wales 6, and York 66, London Scholars 6.
Yeah, they seem to be the whipping boys, don't they, West Wales Raiders. They've only played 4 games so far, scored 26 points, conceded 288.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, isn't it?
Get the defence bags out.
To be fair to York City Knights as well, they kind of move on at a great pace. Judah Maziv scoring a hat-trick of tries. Good player for him. Robinson kicking 11 goals from 12.
Let's hear from Jason Payne after his team came through the challenge against North Wales, winning it 30 points to 10. But quite bizarrely, that game never happened because they lost the doctor but somehow got one eventually.
You know, it's never ideal when you get off to a late start because, you know, obviously doctor wasn't here, but, you know, them things happen. You know, I thought we were going to have 2 trips to Wales and no game, which would have been a good one. But no, it's, you know, it all turned out in the end, and like I say, those things happen. But no, we started strong. It was a big aim of ours today to start well. You know, the last 4 games we've played, we've had a really slow start. So we put a big emphasis today on starting strong, and I thought we did that in parts. But yeah, I think that purely toughness won us that game today. We played really tough. Unfortunately, we played pretty dumb. I thought we could have probably turned it on and scored quite a few points today if we were a little bit smarter, especially our set finishes and in terms of building pressure. But hey, that's one of them things, you know. I'm proud of the effort from the boys.
You mentioned you were strong, and you're certainly strong in defence at times.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhat what we put big emphasis on this year. You know, sort of setting the tone with our defence, and I thought we did that. We're not the biggest team in the world, but we do play high energy, and you know, our line speed, I think, is, you know, right up there with the best teams in the league. So, you know, it's something we're proud of. And yeah, I thought we were, like I say, we were tough in the middle, and pretty smart on the edges defensively.
Good team effort, but in the coaches eye, you stood out for the Thunder today.
Yeah, as you mentioned, really good team effort. Everyone dug in. I thought Harry Aldous, who came off the bench for us, was outstanding. Jack Aldous pretty much played the full 80 in the front row because we lost 2 lads early, so we were 2 subs down from pretty early on in the game. Yeah, and I just think across the board, you know, our roll pack was good, and you know, all our backs really got in and carried the ball well for us coming out of yardage. So, but yeah, good team performance.
Tricky place to come to, so you must be happy to come through the challenge.
Yeah, we've obviously done a lot of review on them and really looked at them before we came down here, and I was really impressed with the way they played against Doncaster last week. You know, they really took it to them, and I think it could have gone either way. I think they got 3 or 4 tries disallowed over in the corner there, so I think they were unlucky. But no, it's a tough place to come, you're right. We come here last year and we got taught a lesson, so it was good to come down here and get our own back, and not the best performance in the world, but tough conditions, and we got the 2 points.
Just over a quarter of the way through the season, are you happy where you are at the moment?
Yeah, pretty happy. I mean, obviously, you know, we're 2 games down on everyone else due to sort of conditions and obviously the West Wales trip. But yeah, I'm happy where we are. I mean, you know, we let a couple of games get away from us in terms of Doncaster and York, which I felt we could have possibly got a result from them if we're a little bit smarter in areas, but no, I'm happy where we're at. We've got a really tough run coming up. Our next 6 games are really tough, and I think this next 6 games could really define where we end up at the end of the season.
Can you say everyone's mentioning it's competitive in Super League and the Championship, but League One's just as competitive?
Yeah, I would say just as competitive, if not more competitive. I mean, like I say, there's probably 10 teams vying for that top 5 spot this year, which I've been involved with this club for 11 years, and you know, followed this, you know, League One, you know, very closely for a lot of years, and it's the most competitive I've ever seen it. So, more teams wanting to get up into the Championship than ever, and obviously Bradford, you know, sort of laying the early tempo. We seem to always have one team who kind of should dominate, which kind of takes that top spot away from everyone else. So everyone else is just vying for sort of them playoff spots. But it's going to be competitive. But luckily we've got a good squad, a competitive squad, and I think it'll probably serve as well.
Bravo, Jason Payne, by the way. He's just top trump Danny Ward.
Has he?
Danny Ward's been at London 10 years. He's been involved with the Thunder for 11 years.
Yeah, actually, I think...
Bravo!
I remember him starting off at Castleford as a young player. And there was a couple of other lads that actually went up to Gateshead around about a similar sort of time. But yeah, he's the one that stopped. And well played to him.
Top trump, Danny Ward, so well done for that one. Should play rugby with top trumps more often. He mentioned he's happy where the Thunder are at the minute. I suppose sitting in sixth position, games in hand, a level on points with Workington just tucked in behind Whitehaven and Hunt, so he can't be too disappointed with that, can he?
Not really. I think he was a little bit disappointed with the points that they have dropped, but like you said, it's a very competitive division, and I think as well, when you look at sort of how many teams are vying for that position. I mean, you look at it and you've got London Scholars on 5 points down in sort of 9th, 10th position.
Mm.
And then you've got Whitehaven in 4th on 8 points. So there's not a lot of points spread between the teams at the moment,
yeah,
is there?
And you've got a three-way tie at the top. Donny, Bradford and York all lost on 10 points.
I have to admit, I'm really pleased for Doncaster. Doncaster have always seemed to do it a bit tough, and then when they've got a little bit of modicum of success, it's all gone wrong for them again. So I'm hoping that this time Richard Horn can see it through and they'll end up getting promoted.
Let's get dip our toe into Super League, shall we? Warrington certainly on the roll, and they saw off Hull Kingston Rovers in the last round of Super League to come up with a sixth successive victory.
Steve, got there eventually. What were your thoughts on that?
It was the longest game I've ever been involved in, to be honest with you. I felt like I went for eternity there, so you know, very pleased with the outcome to, you know, score 40 points. You know, that's what good teams do, they find a way to get it done, and we've done that today. Disappointed with our start to the game, especially with our intent and our attitude, what we wanted to display today, and then to come out in the second half and they scored those you know, those two quick tries, was disappointing, which we really pride ourselves on with our start to each half. So, but as I said, good teams find a way, and proud of the guys to be able to do that.
What were you thinking, Steve, when you came down at 22-20 and momentum had shifted just for a while?
Yeah, I was really disappointed with that aspects leading into that, and just with, you know, effort off the ball. But as I said, good teams find a way to get it done. We didn't panic. We stayed at it. Stayed at it with our game plan and racked up 40 points.
Maybe the best we've seen of you attacking-wise this season, do you think, so far?
No, I wouldn't say what hasn't been our best attacking display. You know, the bit more ball movement, that later parts of that second half, you saw with the dry conditions helped. And you saw the width in our play was positive, but there's still a lot more upside in us.
What's the news on Dom Crosby?
Yeah, he just rolled his ankle. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. He'll go for scans, but yeah, just a bit more of a lower ankle sprain.
You say there's a lot more to come from you, Steve. That's 6 wins in a row now, so as a coach, to be winning and knowing there's still more to come from your side must leave you pretty encouraged.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, we haven't done anything as yet. You know, it's a week at a time by us. So it's a long way to go. We know where we need to get to and what we want to become. So we've still got a lot of hard work to do.
Change of competition next week, is it a welcome distraction?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Ask me that in a couple of weeks. You know, a few other guys will get an opportunity next week who we haven't seen too much of this year to date. So we won't be underestimating a John Key coach team, that's for sure.
There's Steve Price talking about his win against Hull Kingston Rovers the week before in round 10, and they've seen off the Suffolk Red Devils.
Yeah, solid victory that, 22-6 I think it was, over at the AJ Bell Stadium. Mm. And good to see as well that Josh Chandler's kept up his form.
He's turning out to be a real shrewd signing, isn't he, Josh Chandler?
Yeah, it does make you wonder where his number got misplaced elsewhere in Super League, because you would have thought that maybe Wigan would have had him back.
I thought they'd have had first abs to maybe bring him back to the DW. They'd done it with the Tompkins brothers, didn't they, and Lee Mossop, amongst other people. But there you go. Wigan's loss is Warrington's game by the looks of it. Other winnings in round 10 at St Andrews, 2-2 for Hull. That was a boring match. Didn't like it.
Oh yeah, you
it
were
was
there,
drab,
weren't you?
Drab match.
And there was the largest forward pass that I think I've seen in years from that.
Yeah, still moving forward. Other winners, Wigan came back from 21-0 down to defeat Catalans.
What a comeback.
Hutchinson Rovers piled on the misery for Widnes, winning that one 31-12. Castleford with two goals for Huddersfield, winning 40 points to 28. And there was a thriller in Wakefield, not Manila. Leeds Rhinos 28, Wakefield 26.
Tell you what, you're guaranteed a good match every time you go to Wakefield this season, aren't you?
Good value for money, aren't they?
Yeah, and especially seeing as in round 11, they came up with a real top trump of a result, didn't they? Beating St Helens.
Yeah, we mentioned Hutchinson Rovers losing out to Warrington 40-26. Other winners, Wakefield defeating St Helens 24-20. Salford defeated Huddersfield 30 points to 12. Cattleford.
Did you say Cattleford?
I did.
I mean, I know the ground isn't up to much, but you can't go saying Cattleford.
It's another new name entering the World of Rugby League when franchises come back into play. Castleford Tigers 41, Catalans 0. Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Big
that
nil.
That would have hurt on the plane on the way home back to France, wouldn't it?
Big nil point.
A close run thing on Friday, Wigan 9, Leeds 8. Kicked off at 7:45 and finished at about 9:50.
Was that a good game? Because I had several people on my Twitter feed telling me that it was awful and both teams would get rugby stopped. So.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
I suppose ultimately, though, at this stage of the season, you don't need to be playing pretty. You've just got to be winning, haven't you?
Sam Tonkin's showing you how to do it, yeah.
Brilliant drop goal. I saw that one on the replay and... what was it? About 40 metres out, over on the right-hand side, about 10 metres in from touch. Cracking drop goal.
And the night before, a win for Hull, 39-20 to pile more misery onto the shoulders of Dennis Betts.
Yeah, there was a really good performance from Griffin there, wasn't there, with a couple of tries. But, Widnes running into injury worries again.
You mentioned in Griffin, one or two people within the media world reckon should be involved in the England setup.
I think he needs to show more consistency, to be honest.
Right.
He's got the talent, but I think it all comes down to consistency, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're obsessed with...
I can't stop singing tonight. I don't know what it is.
You're obsessed with 80s and 90s songs tonight. I don't know what it is.
Can't help it.
Put us another one on.
I must have been listening to Now That's What I Call Rugby League album or something. Here's a thing for you.
Go on.
Now they have the Golden Point in Australia.
Yes.
One or two people reckon it should come into Super League.
Rubbish. That's what I think of it.
Is that what you're going to say about it?
Yeah, that's all I've got to say about it. You know, if you're good enough to get a draw, then why can't that result stand? Why do you have to have a winner and a loser?
I heard Willie Poaching on another radio station on the phone on the way back from Wrexham on Sunday, and he was saying you shouldn't have it because all it turns out to be is a drop goal of fun, and that takes the spectacle away from the match. And he thinks if you battle back from... I don't know, you're 20-0 down and you battle back to get a draw after 8 minutes, you should be able to go away with a well-earned, hard-earned point.
He's got a point. Did you see what I did there?
God, I wish I had thought about that one.
Yeah, draws should be here to stay.
That's what I thought. Yeah, just thought I'd bring it up. Don't know why I thought that.
That's okay. We generally drop random topics of rugby league conversation into our show.
Although one of the listeners did ring in, and she came up with an idea. If it's a draw after 80 minutes, each team gets a point, and then you play the golden point, and whoever wins that, they get a bonus point.
Hang on, we have enough people going on about player welfare as it is, don't we?
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
If you're going to be putting on player workloads again, surely that they've got to have a say in it somewhere.
One thing I'd like to see come back, the bonus point. I used to like that in the Championship a couple of years ago.
We talked about that, didn't we, briefly when we did the game over at Widnes last week.
Bring it back.
Yeah, because it made everybody that much more competitive, didn't it?
Well, you won't get your big drubbins that you always normally get.
Well, it didn't necessarily stop them, but it did mean that you did have two teams which were competing.
Challenge Cup's back in action this weekend. They had a round of Super League games as well, but the bottom four of last season start their road to Wembley. Widnes at home to Coventry, Warrington at home to the Bradford Bulls. Catalans have got a tricky game against York.
They have. And the rest of the fixtures are Doncaster against Featherstone Rovers, Lee Centurions at home to the London Broncos, Oldham take on Hull Kingston Rovers, Whitehaven are at home to Rochdale Hornets, and that's it.
Super League reaches round 12 fixtures, Salford versus St Helens. We've got... Oh, that's wrong. That is not right.
We've got Hull FC against Leeds.
Yeah.
We have Salford against Wakefield.
We have Fanby in the week before.
St Helens against Huddersfield Giants. And Wigan take on Castleford Tigers. There is a championship game as well, Dewsbury against Halifax, and two in the Betfred League One, which is Newcastle at home to Keighley Cougars and Workington Town at home to North Wales Crusaders.
Despite his team going down to Toronto, a very spirited performance as well. We're going to leave the last word to this fan of Hooter podcast, the great Neil Kelly.
We've seen other teams do well against them, and we didn't want to sort of book that trend, and overall I think we've done okay. There was times during the game where probably we were in the ascendancy and Toronto looked as if they were out on the feet, so you know, for a little club like Dewsbury, we've done okay. But it's typical of my players that we're saying we're proud of the efforts, but they feel as though they're a bit disappointed that they've not always asked enough questions of the Toronto defence.
Is there still a lot that you can take forward positive from that, though?
Yeah. Listen, most of it's positive out of today. We just need a bit more composure in the meaty end of the field. But you know, there's I'm not negative about this side. They're a good bunch of lads who'll try give me 100% every week, and they've not had much reward lately because we've been playing sides that are full time, but we're not mourning about that. But it's important that now we're into more sort of fixtures against other part time teams that we get the points that we, and the effort that is the same that leads to the points in those games.
Because to be fair, I mean, you put that effort on today against some of these other sides that you're going to be coming up against, and they've won.
Yeah, and that, how silly would we look if we don't match this effort that you've seen today against those sides? So, you know, it's incumbent on us to make sure that we reproduce the effort and get the just desserts in future games.
I thought Toronto looked like they were going to pull away after about 15-20 minutes, and then the changes that you made off the bench with the likes of Team becoming on and Robbie Ward, they turned it back in your favour.
I've played against so-called better sides in cup competitions as a player. I've coached against so-called better sides with various clubs. And my biggest criticism is that sometimes you wait while you've lost or the game's gone beyond you before you start playing. And I think we were in danger of sort of paying Toronto a little bit too much respect early on. But as soon as you get into these better players, you realise that they're subject to the same weaknesses as everybody else. If you complete and you defend toughly, really hard, then fatigue shows its face in them, and that's when we hopefully applied more pressure. Hopefully we've learned from that, and in future when this happens again, we'll play right from the start.
You also had to do quite a bit of changes around your pivot players. You know, you've got Dom Speakman playing a bit of half-back in that second half. Sykes was like the fulcrum throughout, but there was that interchange of the hookers, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, obviously, we were going to... Dom's. We only went with three hookers in the squad overnight because one of the players that were injured, we decided we weren't going to risk him. So we had the sort of strange decision of entering into the game with two half-backs and three hookers. It's a scary thought.
You managed to get through it, though.
We managed to get through it because they've all got big hearts, and they all did what we asked them to do. And what we as a team's got to learn is if we stick to what they're being asked to do and do it 100%, that we're always going to be a competitive side.
Across
Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your Feel Better station.
Radio General.